You're listening to a podcast from Vineyard Church of Augusta. For more information, visit vineyardaugusta.org.
This morning, our youth pastor, Kent Moore, is going to come and share with us, but we're going to kick things off with this video.
Okay. I'm a school teacher, so if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to call on you. If you haven't seen the movie, other than that, it's excruciating. Why was he so filled with joy? Why? Raise your... What? Struggle. What was his struggle? No money. Homeless. Homeless with a child. Sleeping in public restrooms. Working hard. That's a tough movie to watch. What was the deal with the $5 bill? Somebody. Okay. He gave the cab ride to the boss, the $5. What was the $5 he going to use it for? He gave him his last $5 for his rich boss to get a cab ride. What was he going to use it for? Well, it was for the shelter. It was to get into the shelter. But he had to maintain the relationship with the boss, to not be a complainer and a whiner, and he and his son slept in a public restroom that night. So the $5 was more than a job. I think the boss found out about it later, didn't realize. That's one expression of joy. Controlled. You can see it exploding out of his eyes, but not. We're going to look at another expression of joy later. But joy often comes to those who need it, who are hungry for it. And we'll get to that. When I sent the notes to Cheryl to put in the program, the title was Smells Like Shepherds. There's a story behind that. Several years ago, when I was the pastor at the Savannah Vineyard Church, it was Christmas time, leading up, Advent, I'm preaching on the shepherds, and I'm trying to talk about the whole scene of Jesus being born, and how it wasn't nice and clean, and I'm really just getting into it. I'm getting into it, and I'm talking about how it was dirty, and Mary was dirty and tired, and Joseph was confused, and I was like, there was just animals everywhere, and it smelled like shepherds. They have never let me live that down. When you run your mouth for a living, you occasionally make mistakes, as all my eighth graders know. So, as we talk about that, let's look at the shepherds. But before we look at the shepherds, yes, I am wearing my Star Wars shirt because I saw the movie yesterday and I am consumed with Jedi joy. And, there were lots of people my age last night at the movie theater going and elbowing their children, and they're like, "We get it, Dad, your childhood." Shut up, appreciate it. So as I was debating on what to wear this morning, I'm speaking, I have to wear it. And because Jesus loves balance to the force, Reese got dressed up. So dress up, it'll help everything out. Okay, so having a little fun. Now, what I need everybody in here to do is, if you have your phone or your Bible, I want you to completely put it away. I'm talking to you middle schoolers. So we have a little shoe rack on the wall. Put your phone in the shoe rack. You can see it. Turn it backwards so you don't see your friends Google Snapagram you or whatever FaceTime chat. I need you to imagine something. If you want to close your eyes, if you want to just keep them open, I need to imagine you to imagine that you are a truck driver. And women, ladies, we are an equal opportunity church here. There is no male, no female, no slave, no free. You can be a truck driver too. So, all right. You are a truck driver, big truck. You are very, very aware that your job is vital, vital to the economy. You got to get stuff to where it needs to get. Your job's important. You have to be on time. You have to rest properly so that you drive safely. You have to know the rules. You have to know your routes. You have to know your equipment. You have to know it's a good job. But you're just not around people very much. Most of your time is alone. Maybe at a diner, a truck stop. Maybe 24 hours at home where you slept 10 of it. And then you're back on the road. But you just finished a load. You're gassing up to go home and getting your gas station cappuccino and your Slim Jim. And it's nighttime or 2 in the morning. You're walking back to your truck. And when you open the door, someone is sitting in your truck in the passenger side. Someone you do not know, and they say, "Don't be afraid," as you spill your gas station cappuccino, because they're not supposed to be anybody in your truck. And they're like, "I've been sent to let you know that the king of the world was just born." Now, you are very, very aware of brain science, that people who are in isolation often begin to hallucinate, and you know that you are on 2 hours of sleep, you're not sure about all this. But as you get in the cab and sit down, the person grabs your phone, puts in GPS coordinates into your maps, and says, "Follow this. It'll lead you to a garage of a house on the edge of town where a little baby was born, future king of the world." And then there's like 10 of them in your cab, like going, "Yes." And then they're gone. And then 4 of your buddies, CB, cell phone, get on with you and say, you hear, "Yep, uh-huh, okay, GP, yeah." And so you drive. You can't believe, you just want to go home and eat your Vienna sausages. And maybe somebody's at home, maybe they're not. But you and your 3 other buddies and your semis are driving, and you pull up at this house, and you pull up, and there's a garage half open. Is this it? You've arrived at your destination. And you all get out. You go in, and there's a teenage girl with a baby in a garage. And a guy standing there looking as dumbfounded as you. And so you ask the guy, "Is this your baby?" And the guy responds, "Sort of." You weren't dressed up for this. You didn't have a baby present. Like, what do I do? I still have grease. That's the first visitors to the baby. The mom's not really prepared for this. She doesn't look prepared for much. Have y'all read the Bible? It makes stranger things look like strange, not quite as strange things. And let's read this Bible. Luke chapter 2. Guys, we just gloss over the Christmas story. I'm pulling up my digital scroll, so if you have yours, you're welcome to do that. Okay. I asked it at middle school small group the other night. I do the middle school boys group, one of them. And I asked him, I was like, "What was a modern day job that might be closest to a shepherd?" And we talked about what it was. And, you know, one of the guys spoke up, "Truck driver." And I'm like, "Yeah." At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Guys, we gloss over these angels, and I know we say this a lot, you know, our Christmas cards. Nowhere does it say they have wings. Nowhere does it say they look like Glinda the Good Witch. Hello. I mean, their first announcement was don't be scared, because these guys had lost their mind. I mean, it is frightening. It doesn't even say they were human-like. We just kind of assume. Again, have you read the Bible? Reese, a few weeks ago, mentioned the seraphim, these angelic creatures that are mentioned in Isaiah. They're the most frightening things in the world. I mean, Sigourney Weaver would have to come at those things.
That's an alien reference.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." Now, what did the angel sound like? Probably not Shakespearean. I asked a linguist. I said, "What did those shepherds probably speak? What language did they probably speak?" I did my homework. And probably Aramaic, probably not so educated Aramaic. Does God speak in your language? Does God speak Haitian Creole? Yeah, really clearly. Pick a language. Does he speak Swahili? Does he speak Arabic? Yes, he does. I was reading a book by a Native American theologian that said, God was Jesus. I mean, specifically Christian theology was speaking to us before white people arrived. Like, God can do what God wants. And so, I don't know what was the language. Let's use our God-given imaginations in what was happening here. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And they're probably thinking, then why are you telling us? The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. Peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, again, whatever that means,
Where am I?
When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that the Lord that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village, left their sheep, which probably weren't theirs. I'll get to that in a minute. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I think in parentheses you might want to put there, didn't believe him. Maybe they did. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. In the Bible, leading up the stories before Jesus, there's three main things that are promised as blessings to the people of God. They were promised land, okay? And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. God didn't want a holy land. He wanted a holy earth. Because he says, let's start here, be fruitful and multiply. But they were promised land. They were promised descendants, okay, children and grandchildren and grandchildren. Afterlife, any kind of afterlife, something after death, is almost not mentioned at all. So death is seen as this great enemy. Well, if we're supposed to be in the land, and death is this great enemy to that, having children was a way of remaining in the land. My children, my line. So to have that line cut off was sort of a double death. my line's cut off. Now, we don't think about it that so much because the land isn't the biggest deal. But the third thing that was promised as a blessing was the actual presence of God. Now, shepherds were often the youngest, mostly sons, of families who would inherit nothing. Shepherds were often either orphaned, without parents to pass things down, or they were just the last one at the table. And it was no weird thing that little David Shepherd boy was out tending the sheep. He was going to inherit probably nothing. So why don't you go do what a child can do and go watch sheep? Vital to the economy, anybody can do it. Maybe the occasional bear. Okay, that was a joke. And there's this, shepherds were like, who would let their daughter marry this guy? He's not going to, so he probably doesn't have, shepherds often lived out there in the tents and then followed the sheep. Or they lived in shacks, just, you know, three guys sharing a shack and watching somebody else's sheep for very little money. We don't care what you do. Figure it out. You're just nothing. So we have, the Bible is filled, one of the themes of the Bible is that over the course of the history of this Jewish population, is there's always another country kind of in charge of the world. Whether it's the Egyptian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, the American Empire, there's something sort of in charge that does bring some rules and order to the place, but there's something not so right about it. And so Israel's always, I heard a rabbi say one time that the summary of all Jewish festivals is they tried to kill us, we're still here, let's eat. And there's this simmering underneath the surface, like Israel's like, the Roman Empire. And then you got shepherds on the outside of that. They won't even have any family, probably. It's just very little hope. It's boring. And that's who gets the first baby announcement? Now, the others who get the baby announcement, it takes them a couple of years to get there, to toddler Jesus. The wise men, the magi, they're not even in the God follower circle, from all we can tell. Mathematician, astronomers, professors at Hogwarts, I don't know. I mean, they're, and God invites them and bypasses the Jewish people of power, even whispers to him in a dream, Herod's bad, and go around, you know, don't see him again, he's a liar. So shepherds were often those who the only blessing they got was the presence of God. They didn't have any land, and they didn't have any descendants most of the time. So that night, and I'm supposed to be talking about joy. Have you ever given a gift to a kid who's got way too many toys? And they go, awesome. I want the box. And some of us have so much that, like, you eat something that tastes great, but you're just so full. Your taste buds have just been blitzed by sugar and artificial things that when you taste a real piece of food, you're like, how's the flavor? People experience joy who have just never really felt it. And we often experience joy in different ways. I don't know how these shepherds expressed joy, but as they're out there, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. The angel reassured them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, the Savior. It's just, everything about this story is so ridiculous.
And it's so surprising, yet it's the theme of Scripture. God keeps going to those people on the outside who appreciate everything. And as they rise up in power, he's like, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget, Hebrews, that you used to be slaves. Sometime later, they're enslaving themselves and enslaving other nations, acting just like the people that enslaved them. Don't forget, David, O little boy shepherd, that I brought you from nothing, maybe to inherit nothing, and made you king. David forgot a few times. David forgot a few times and lost the Lord's heart. And so for you, what brings you joy? And are you standing with people on the outside? Because God was just always bringing people who didn't have. Because when you see someone experience real joy, and you're just like, I don't feel that. You might just be so overwhelmed by junk that you can't feel anything anymore. And we numb ourselves and we numb ourselves, and God's like, let's strip it down. Let's strip it down. Remember, people don't have clean drinking water in parts of America. Remember that people in other countries are getting the garbage of other countries. Remember, I know the news is overwhelming. I know compassion fatigue. If I hear one more story about starving people, you know, and it can be overwhelming. And then we read the Bible, and it's like, hey, remember, the term solidarity means, although you have positions of power or some type of something that's good, remembering and standing with people who don't, which is a sacrifice, which is the whole Christmas story. It's the whole deal. Jesus had to like learn how to walk. And I feel for Joseph sometimes. There's a scene in the movie, The Nativity, pretty decent movie. And there's a scene where Jesus has been born and they're traveling back to Nazareth. And they stop at some little village and, you know, they're buying some bread. And the lady at the little cart says, oh, the baby, yeah. She goes, and she looks at Joseph and says, played by the fighter pilot Poe. Little Star Wars trivia there. See, it's connected. And he looks at, the lady looks at Joseph and she goes, isn't it amazing to see a baby that has your eyes? Okay. But as y'all know, I know what that feels like. But I know, you change their diapers 3 times, they're yours. So, let's get over that. Okay, so, I'm just trying to imagine 3-year-old Jesus. I've had a 3-year-old. Really, Mary? Anyway, I'm going to go outside. It's a joyful noise. Let's see another expression of joy, because all of you express it differently. We got a video. Oh, it's not over. In case you're wondering, that's a lot of hard work. So, I'm not sure how you express joy, but it could be that, which is awesome. It could be
controlled, I have a job. It could be tears. It could be just, I'm going to fall asleep for a week now. I feel safe enough to do that. I am so happy. It could be, because it's more than happiness. It's more than contentment. It's joy in the waiting. It's surprising. It says these shepherds just went back to work. They're never mentioned again. A year later,
yep, I remember that.
I mean, it's just, it was, we were there. Nobody believes us. You know, the angel told us. Sure they did. You know, hey, we all heard it. Joseph heard it too. Isn't it one of my favorite parts that's not mentioned in the Bible is that when the shepherds go and they're like, this is the place, the star GPS brought us here. And Joseph is like, yep, angel told me it's my baby too. I better take care of it. And they're like, we're not crazy. Have you ever felt crazy? Have you ever felt like you're going out of your mind and then somebody else agrees with you and you're like, you know, you might be right. I might be crazy. That's Billy Joel. Okay, so, but it's confirming when you sense something, when you go somewhere and something confirms that it is Jesus. Now, this morning, I'm gonna admit a sin to you. I was as grumpy as everything yesterday, and I let Christmas tear me up. If one more person pulls out in front of me or wanders down an aisle with their big, giant, semi-truck-sized grocery cart, or, you know how Christmas is. God, Christmas. And, hey, today, when you go, if you're out and about, if you're ice skating downtown, if you're looking at Christmas light, can y'all smile? I mean, just let people go first. Just, Jesus would so appreciate that, and I would too, and everybody around you. Bring some joy to people around you. Let's pray.